This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
New voices in your head.
It's radio.
Free
radio.
This is an In Cahoots partner podcast on Rabble.ca. Now listen to these guys. They're in cahoots with us.
Hello, and welcome to the Between the Lines podcast, a series of interviews, author readings, and more from BTL Books. You can read about Between the Lines at btlbooks.com. Now on with the show. The War of 1812. Whose war was it anyway? This provocative question was posed by the Canadian Historical Association Active History Committee. In a partnership with the History Education Network, this spring they put together a mini-conference that explored this question, bringing together historians, journalists, writers, educators. Part of this conference involved a roundtable discussion, including reflections from Jamie Swift, co-author along with Ian MacKay, of a new book called Warrior Nation, Rebranding Canada in an Age of Anxiety, available right now from Between the Lines. Let's listen in on what Jamie had to say.
Our next speaker is Jamie Swift. Jamie is the author of a dozen nonfiction books, including biographies of Eric Kearns and Bill Ryan. He's also written a best-selling sociology textbook. He's written examinations of Canadian forest policy, labor market inequality, and civil society. He is a longtime contributor to Ideas on CBC Radio, and he's written widely for publications from the Globe and Mail to Canadian Geographic and Harold Smith. He attended McGill University and lectures in the Queen's School of Business. He also works as a social justice advocate for the Sisters of Providence in Kingston. Jamie also, I'd written, has a new book coming out, but I see it's out there. So his new book is out, co-authored with Ian MacKay, also an historian of Queens. It's entitled Warrior Nation, Rebranding Canada in an Age of Anxiety. And the work offers a critical perspective on the place of war in our current understandings of nationhood and citizenship. Jamie.
Thanks a lot. I have indeed spent the past 6 years writing this book with Ian MacKay, my friend who teaches history at Kingston, who's a prominent Canadian historian. I'm neither an historian nor terribly prominent. So what I'm really here to do is to situate this question of the War of 1812 in the context of this book, Warrior Nation. I'm also here to, because it's great to come to Kitchener. We started up our publishing company, Between the Lines, here in Kitchener 35 years ago. And there's several people in the room who were involved in that enterprise and several other authors of BTL books here in the room. So welcome. You know who you are. The guilty parties. Warrior Nation explains the way that new warriors, a group of people that Ian and I call new warriors, are trying to rebrand Canada. And these new warriors include politicians, assorted militarists, and given the present context, not least, historians. And we know who they are, I think. They want to reshape memory, and they want to reshape our self-understanding. And for the new warriors, Canada's history, Canada's landmark events were those in which the British and American empires were built and defended. And it's in the rush of soldiers to the defense of empire that Canadians should seek their national identity. Warrior Nation argues that Canada's stances on peace and war emerge from our history and our habits of remembering. And that's why the attempt to rebrand Canada as a warrior nation is so very important. Habits of the heart, if you will. The attempt to turn the 200th anniversary of the War of 1812 into a spasm of patriotic zeal fits right in with this warrior nation effort. It seems to be a priority for this government. Why else would a government that's willing to sacrifice Library and Archives Canada on the altar of austerity be willing to spend $28 million commemorating this senseless and bloody conflict? And I think, and Ian and I came to the conclusion that the real reason they want to spend this money to commemorate this war is because it was a war, and that this government is interested in everything that has to do with war, authoritarianism, and hierarchy. I don't know how far $28 million would go to restore the funding that's been cut from Library and Archives Canada, or more appropriately here at a public library, how much of the public access program that allows poor people to get access to the internet at a public library, how much that of that $28 million would help those poor people regain web access. I don't know. I do know we did figure out that it's enough to operate our recently eliminated Polar Environmental Atmospheric Research Laboratory for 18 years, which is a long time given the climate crisis. So Warrior Nation is all about the uses and abuses of history. History is contested terrain. And it's appropriate that our session this week, today falls a week after the death of the great American intellectual Paul Fussell, whose book, The Great War and Modern Memory, inspired us and made this literary theorist into a public intellectual who really helped to define what it is to remember war. And Fussell explained that the drift of modern history does what he calls normalizes the unspeakable. And unlike Canada's new warriors, none of whom have ever experienced combat or war, Fussell recalls lying wounded in a field in southern France, being sprayed by a spray of blood, cloth, and tissue as one of his comrades took a heavy round to the chest. These are not the memories of war that our Prime Minister would like have us take away from the War of 1812. According to Stephen Harper, and I'm quoting here, the war helped to establish Canada's, quote, path toward becoming an independent and free country. The heroic efforts of Canadians helped to define who we are today, what side of the border we live on, and which flag we salute. Now, I'm not sure whether flag saluting is necessarily part of the Canadian political tradition unless we serve in the military. However, that's what Stephen Harper said. And it's very, very reflective of what Fussell calls the high diction that accompanies the rhetoric around war. And Harper said this, even though at that time there was no such thing as Canada, even though the famously undefended border has since become known as a security perimeter, that's another militarized term, and even though Canadians, as I said, are not necessarily too used to patriotic flag waving. So will Canadians be asked in this, what I call spasm of patriotic zeal that will cost us so much money, will we be asked to remember in the War of 1812, how profoundly the British double-crossed their principal and most important allies. Certainly Tecumseh will be treated as a hero, but then again, heroism is part of what Fussell described as the high diction of war. I think it's safe to say, if you want to get into this game, that Canada's First Nations people were the real losers, as James said. The real winner, I would say, was a man like Strawn, the famous Family Compact member who was a modest fellow. He wrote his own biography at the age of 22. After the War of 1812, and as James mentioned, the Treaty of Ghent, the British negotiators betrayed the native claims. First Nations people became known as wards of the state, not separate entities, and the dream of a native-controlled polity at the heart of North America, to which the British had given their tentative support, was gone for good. So yes, we should remember the War of 1812, but let's get beyond the priapic rock monument and great man symbols of history. I live in Kingston, and we're just gearing up now for a grand extravaganza to mark the 200th anniversary of John A. MacDonald. So we have that to look forward to. We also have something to look forward to that we should look out for. If they're doing this amount of propagandizing around the 200th anniversary of the War of 1812, what are they going to do about Vimy? What are they going to do about 1914 and that senseless slaughter? We can just keep that in mind. Let's recall what people like Paul Fussell and a man named Tiger Dunlop had to say about war. And these are the words of people who actually have experienced war. Dunlop was a prominent upper Canadian politician and magistrate who was a battlefield surgeon during the War of 1812 and remembered the military incompetence of poorly planned deployments of men like himself. And he described it as one of the many blunders of this blundering war. In his 1847 memoir, Dunlop recalled treating the wounded, most often by amputation. He did his grisly work in the withering heat of the ramshackle Butler's Barracks down the Niagara River from Queenston Heights, and the flies landed on the open wounds and deposited their eggs so that by the time Dunlop got to them, the maggots had already been mobilized. He came across an elderly American farmer whose wife had helped him struggle across to the enemy side, seeking treatment under a flag of truce. And this man was either a militiaman or a camp follower. And his wife spoke to Dunlop as she held his head in her lap as he slowly expired. And these were her words, and I'll leave you with them, as recalled by Tiger Dunlop. And she said, "Oh, that the king and president were both here this moment to see the misery their quarrels lead to. They surely would never go to war without a cause that they could give as good a reason to God on the last day for thus destroying the creatures he has made in his own image." Thank you.
That was Jamie Swift, co-author, along with Ian MacKay, of Warrior Nation, Rebranding Canada in an Age of Anxiety, available right now in bookstores near you from Between the Lines Books. Jamie was participating in a panel organized by Active History, and you can find more information about them on activehistory.ca. Thank you.